Hey everybody, welcome to EDT 563, and it's your instructor Dan on a lovely fall evening here in Western Maine. Wanted to help you out with one of the cornerstones here of the course that really takes us through the rest of the course, this idea of the design thinking mindset. And it's established there early, and you've been practicing it throughout, even though I haven't signposted it. You know, I had a background in doing high school debate, and they always talked about signposting, making sure people understood your arguments and putting out all the little roadmaps and flashing blinking lights saying, this is the argument here. This is my point right now. Here's the next point I'm going to make and the next point, and making sure that that becomes crystal clear. And I haven't done that at all. I've used other language to describe the thinking that goes into design thinking. But I haven't used the precise terms that I tend to promote, push, popularize. I don't know what the right way to describe it is. I certainly didn't invent this stuff. I just sort of distilled everything that I've learned about design thinking over the years into this mindset that I have found very helpful for both learners and colleagues, and in all different contexts and avenues of work. So without further ado, here are the five mindsets and a little explanation of each. I'll also be sharing a slide deck that has these, so you can have them written out. I'll be putting that right up on our Brightspace. So the design thinking mindset starts with, for me, it starts with this basic idea of failing up. You have to go into design knowing that you're going to make mistakes, and that each time you screw up, it's going to be an opportunity to improve upon it. So every little goof, every little, oh no, that was not a good use of time, there's something from that to take that is going to accelerate and improve upon the next iteration or the next stage or the next choice you make. We go down a lot of rabbit holes in design, a lot of directions that we may wish we hadn't. And it will drive us crazy if we always think of them as wastes of time or not good enough or flights of fancy or, well, great, now I have to start all over again. We think of every lack of success as a natural progression towards a better success, and we keep trying to make the next thing a little bit better as opposed to going through the motions, banging our head against the wall, just doing the same thing over and over again. It's not going to work. And that takes us to the next part of the mindset, which is yes anding. Yes, this occurred, and where are we going to go from there? Yes and comes from my improv background as well. In improv, when you perform scenes with partners and you're making everything up on the spot and you have no idea what the next person is going to say, you have to use the yes and philosophy. The person gives you an offer. They come up to you and say, hello, Uncle Charlie. It works great if you respond, hello, nephew David, or hello, niece Carol, or hello, young William, or whatever it is that you come to say, right? It doesn't work so well if you go, I'm not your uncle, I'm your boss. And everything just becomes an argument and weird and distracting, and there's no story there. You build story by yes-anding, accepting that which you're giving, and then building that which you're given, rather, and then building from there. That's the key to yes-and. Yes, I received this information and this. Very often when we're talking with problem solving, we say but all the time. Yeah, but, that's nice, but, well, but. That is actually rejecting whatever was put on the table. You're not actually saying, yes, I see this and also this point. You're saying, yes, you're saying this, but it doesn't really matter because this thing matters more, right? That's what we're saying with a but. We're negating that which comes before because we're saying the most important thing is the second part. When we say yes and, we acknowledge and we accept that which came before. Yes, this problem exists and there are many solutions. Yes, we have tried 15 different ways to solve this before. And this might be the one that's going to work because, yes, we have no money for this. And there are ways to solve this problem that cost little to nothing. So the idea is to just keep building and building and building rather than tearing down, tearing down, tearing down. And that leads to our next one, which is the bias to action. We get into this, paralysis of inaction so easily, a paralysis of inaction. That is redundant if one has ever spoken redundancies. So let's instead say, there is this action paralysis that occurs. I just experienced it myself. The other day at school, I saw some learners doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and I just couldn't even move. I felt so strongly about needing to address it, but what is the thing? What's the right? Oh no. And it just got worse. Crap. So we have to just go for it. We have to try things. Goes back to that failing up. You can't fail up if you don't try. You can't build on an idea with a yes and philosophy, right, if you're not willing to then try out a thing. So when we're sitting there and we're like, I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure. Will this, you do that sucking in through the teeth. That's when you should pause and go, let's just go for it. Let's just try. Let's just try. Let's just see where this goes. Right? Maybe my list isn't exhaustive. Maybe I haven't made every observation. Maybe I should have talked to more people. Let's try something though. Let's see what happens next. And that can be scary. And that's why we go into the fourth one, which is leaning into the squish. This was coined by my best friend in the world, Jeff Bailey. He teaches computer science. A lot of you probably know him. He teaches in the UMaine program. He also teaches computer science at Mountain Valley High School in Rumford, Maine. He's a wicked good human being. And he said this during a workshop that he and I were co-facilitating, and it has completely stuck, and I run with it all the time. But the idea is just you're leaning into that place, similar to what Mr. Miyagi said in The Karate Kid. If you go left, okay. If you go right, okay. You go middle, squish, just like grape. Well, in this case, we want to lean in. We want to lean into that really uncomfortable place because that's usually where the good ideas are. And that's usually where the solutions exist because people have already been playing in the safe spots and nothing has happened. We already see what happens when you don't take action. We've already seen what happens when you rely on that which we already know. That's why we have a problem. So we lean into the uncomfortable places, and that can be in as microcosmic a way as a conversation you're having with a stakeholder to like rolling out a pilot program and you're not sure if it's going to work and it could really upset some people, but man, lean into the squish, see what happens. You're more likely to succeed if you follow the last mindset as well, which is creating with intention. Be deliberate. People find confidence in deliberate choices. They find, for the most part, if you go into a situation where you have thought out why you want to do the things you want to do, why you think it's going to work, you've articulated that and communicated that, not in a way that's overwhelming or you just dump data upon data point, but instead told a story, going back to Ellen Lupton, when you shared the story of why this is going to work or why you believe it's going to work, why it's so important that we address it. And your solution has been thought about with meaning and purpose. Chances are pretty good people are going to buy in and give it a real attempt. Think about all the things we see in learning spaces, in our professional spaces, in our communities, that are there just to be there. They're not thought of with intentionality. They're thought of with, oh, we just have to. It's something on rails. It's having to fill in a blank. It's a checklist item, right? We see it so often when we see a piece of paper that says emergency exit held up with a piece of tape, and this makeshift sign, right, that was hung up, or the directions on how to get to a place. And there you see the sign that says, yard sale that way. You're like, wait, vaguely where? And then it falls off and it disappears into the ether. We see it on community bulletin boards. We see it, it's all the time. We see it in emails that are sent out. What was this being sent for? Why was this put into the universe? Oh, look at all these words. Are any of us going to read them all? Be deliberate. Create with intention. Have a reason for that, what you're doing. Okay. Now that one is still couched against the others. So even though you're creating with intention, if you're not sure why you've made a choice, you can still bias to action and go after it. Lean into the squish. Be okay with knowing that this part isn't the best. It's probably going to be a fail, but I'm going to learn from it, right? And I'm going to accept that and then build on it. You see how it all works together, folks? So that's what I want you to be thinking about this week. There's a challenge there on the Brightspace for you to consider and to do alongside of these. Okay. So make sure you read up on that. And if you have questions, put them up on the Brightspace, put them in the discussion. Let's get the conversation going. If you have questions about any of these, or just shoot me a line. If you're not comfortable sharing it with the whole group, shoot me a line. And let's keep moving. This is what we're going to need in order to do our challenges, to see those challenges through. And this is really the biggest takeaway for you all, that if you learn some methods, very cool. You learn a process, excellent. You solve a problem, holy cow, that would be ideal, right? But for me, the primary takeaway is if you can kind of instill these five dimensions of the design thinking mindset into your noggins, and start sharing those and articulating those with others, I think you're going to find problem solving to be a lot less scary and generally a lot more productive. So, all right, I will catch you on the Brightspace.